Blog Talk Radio.
Another great show brought to you by the Law of Attraction Radio Network. The Think, Believe, and Manifest Show with author, master trainer, and certified dream coach, Constance Arnold. Join us every week as we bring you life-changing information that will empower your life. And here's Constance.
Well, hello and welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network. And I am Constance Arnold, your host for the Think, Believe, and Manifest Talk Show. And I am broadcasting live today with just a little touch of Southern flavor from beautiful but cold Atlanta, Georgia. Well, I want to thank you so much for joining me from all over the world, it seems. I think it's 121 countries now. And my declaration over your life is that today is the beginning of some of the best years of your life. And you know I want you to believe that. Well, thank you again for joining me. And as I always say, I believe that if you are listening to me, that the Spirit has attracted you to this show, and there will be hope, encouragement, and solution for your life today. Well, how are you doing? I am really doing really great here in Atlanta, just really excited and getting ready for Christmas. Can you believe that I think in about 6 days from now, Christmas will be here. How amazing is that? You know, I just love the Christmas season as it is filled with such love, joy, and hope. And I pray that you will really remember the reason for the season and celebrate that. It's not about giving a lot of gifts or getting. I believe it's about a realization of who God is and how much he loves us. So remember that. Well, today I have back with me again for the second time, Mr. Derek Rydell, and we're going to be talking about how to manifest from the inside out using the law of emergence. And so I want you to stay tuned. We're going to be right back after this quick commercial.
You are listening to your daily dose of well-being and inspiration on Law of Attraction Radio Network at loaradionetwork.com.
Hello, this is Constance Arnold, your success coach. Do you feel stuck? Are you ready for change in the areas of business, relationships, or career? Then contact me today for your complimentary coaching session. We will partner together to develop individualized strategies and projects that will move you towards the life of your dreams. So email me at constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com or visit my website, fulfillingyourpurpose.com, and discover and take advantage of the diverse coaching packages that I have designed just with you in mind. Well, thank you so much for listening to my coaching commercial, and I am going to encourage you to go to my website, www.fulfillingyourpurpose.com, and take advantage of my great Christmas gift that I have for you. That's right, I'm going to give you 50% off of my 6-month coaching package, and I've had so many people from all over the world taking advantage of that, and I think you only have about 15 more days in order to do that, so take advantage of that. Well, are you ready? Well, I am so excited about the show today. You know, I'm always very prayerful about who I have on my show, and I know that it has certainly been a divine connection between Mr. Derek Rydell and myself. So he's been on once, but let me just tell you a little bit more about Derek. Derek is an author. He's an integrative therapist. He's a consultant to entertainment professionals, and he is an accomplished speaker. He has coached thousands of entertainment professionals and is a star speaker at many top entertainment expos. He's led sold-out courses at the Learning Annex and has drawn standing-room-only crowds at events in the U.S. and abroad. He is a spiritual practitioner and teacher, and Derek has led leadership positions at Agape International Truth Center, which is one of the nation's largest and fastest growing spiritual communities, where Dr. Michael Beckwith is the founder. He is the author of The Law of Emergence, but he's just a wonderful person. Let me tell you about Derek, what I have discovered about him behind the scenes. He is a man of God. He's a man filled with wisdom, knowledge, and insight. He has a real passion for sharing that knowledge, and he really is just a very compassionate person. He has certainly helped me personally in my own life, and I just wanted to share him again with the world. So, Derek Riddell, welcome again to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Oh, what an honor to be here, and what an introduction. Thank you so much, Constance.
It's nothing but the truth, so help me God.
It's the truth. Yes.
And so you were on, I guess, about last, was it last week that you were on, Derek? It was last week that you were on, and I wanted to have, yes, and I wanted to have you on again because the information that you are giving us is so fresh and is such revelation and such a realization about who God is in our lives that I didn't want to waste any time. I want to get started about the law of emergence. So just briefly, before we get started into our exchange today, share with our listeners, what is the law of emergence?
Yeah, well, the law of emergence, it basically states that everything that we need, want, hope for, desire to be all that we were created to be is already within us, complete, fully designed. And when the conditions, the inner conditions are right, then that which we already are begins to emerge. And it's very much like the oak in the acorn. You know, the acorn is already has the oak in it. It's invisible, but it's there, complete. And when the conditions are right for the acorn, in the acorn's case, it's external conditions, planted in the right soil, then that which it is in truth and in potential emerges organically without effort, without struggle. Now, the difference between the acorn and us is that the acorn is indigenous, meaning that it must be planted in the right external conditions to thrive. If it's planted in the wrong external conditions, it may or may not thrive and may even die. Whereas human beings are endogenous, and this is a term Ralph Waldo Emerson coined, and that means that we carry the conditions within us. The soil of our soul is where we cultivate the conditions for the full emergence of our potential and our destiny. So the good news is that no matter where we're planted in the external world, no matter what side of the tracks we were born on, no matter what the cultural conditions are, no matter what the economy is, no matter what our parents said, no matter even what our genetics or heredity were, no matter what the conditions are of our life, when we cultivate the soil of our soul, then the seed of our potential must and will begin to emerge fully. That's the law of emergence.
Well, and that's such a powerful message of hope, which is what a lot of people need right now, Derek. You know, in the law of emergence, you say all power is in our consciousness and nothing moves but mind. What does that mean in simplistic layman terms? Nothing moves but mind.
Yeah, it's a powerful realization. And I remember when it really hit me, I was doing a moving meditation, a form of meditation called Qigong, and in an instant, my hand moved, and all of a sudden, the question arose in my mind, what just moved? And as suddenly the gap opened up in my consciousness, and I could see that my hand didn't move, that the muscles moved the hand, but the muscles didn't move either. What happened was there was the bones moving the muscles, or the muscles moving the bones, but that wasn't what happened either. And as my mind began to expand, I could see that there was an electrical impulse and a chemical impulse that moved the muscles, that moved the bones, that moved the hand, but that came from a cascading of neurochemicals from my brain, and that because there was a thought, and behind that thought, there was an impulse. In other words, my mind had moved, and it outpictured as my hands moving. And suddenly my mind just opened up and I could see the whole world, and I could see that there wasn't a bunch of people moving around and things going on in the external world, that what there was a movement of consciousness or a movement of mind. And we were experiencing it, and it was out picturing as people moving and all that. And the importance in understanding that is if you want to change your life, change your body, change your actions, or even change the world out there, the only place you can ultimately change it is by changing what's moving in your mind, by changing your consciousness and having a greater realization of the truth. That will ultimately outpicture as the transformation of your actions as well as those of the people in your world.
And so, Derek, sounds like you're saying that it's an inside job, and whatever we truly possess in consciousness is what will be an outpicturing in our world.
Absolutely. I mean, this is, you know, it's tough teaching on one level because we have to take 100% responsibility, but it's also ultimately the pearl of great price. It's true liberation to realize that there really is nothing happening out there. Even in quantum physics now, they're beginning to describe this truth that there is no out there, that there's a field of consciousness, a field of energy, a field of awareness of which we are a center in. And everything is really happening in our consciousness. Doesn't mean it's happening just in our head. You know, I like to say, we're not in a body. Our body is in our consciousness. And we're not in the world. The whole world is literally in our consciousness. And so as we begin to get that, and we begin to then, as the scripture says, seek first the kingdom, and all these other things then will be added unto us. And where is the kingdom? It's within. And so, you know, in all the great religions and philosophies have ultimately been teaching us this. We've just been interpreting it from a material perspective instead of a mystical or spiritual or metaphysical perspective, and realizing that the whole universe is all within us and within our consciousness. And as we get that right, as it says in the movie Field of Dreams, if you build it, they will come. And the building takes place in consciousness. And then everything else is the added thing.
And so, Derek, are you saying if a person wants more wealth, should they get a consciousness of wealth? If they want to lose weight, should they get a consciousness of a slim, healthy body? If they want a relationship, they need to possess a consciousness of that thing, and that thing will reproduce in their lives.
Well, yes, that's absolutely true. And there's a couple of distinctions here, because we've heard some of that stuff from the law of attraction, in that if you embody a certain vision and hold it, you know, fast in your mind, that you will attract that to you. But the idea of attraction is a bit of a misperception, because we're not really attracting anything to us. We're really radiating. It's the law of radiance or the law of emergence. We are not a body. We are a field of consciousness. And as we become more and more aware of who and what we are in the larger context, it radiates into this quantum field. And it manifests in the world of appearances in a way that looks like things are attracting to us and showing up. But what's really happening is our larger reality, our larger self that's already here, it's already complete, is beginning to emerge and become conscious and become visible and tangible. And that's very important, because if we are trying to attract or manifest, whether it's a better body or more money, from the standpoint of thinking we're a body and thinking that we're here and the good that we want is somewhere in the future or somewhere out there, we have created a separation from our true self. See, your perfect body is already here. It's not going to come in the future. It's impossible. It can only come now, and it's already been given. All that the Father has is thine. The whole kingdom has been already given us, the whole of infinite good. The perfect life, the perfect body, the perfect home, the perfect companionship, the perfect world has already been designed and divinely given. So, but if we are trying to attract it or manifest it, there's often a subtle belief that we don't have it yet, that we aren't it yet, that we're not good enough, that life isn't quite good enough. And then no matter how much we work to visualize and manifest, we will continue to manifest that thinking, that sense of separation, inadequacy, and lack. And I've said this, I think, in the last show, and I say it before, is so that even if we manage to manifest a bigger house, we'll oftentimes feel even less at home. And even if we manage to manifest a bigger paycheck, we will often feel broke just at a higher income bracket.
You know, that is so true. You know, in some of your writings, you talk about how all of our life is like a divine production, and we're just like actors acting out a part which we co-create. So are you saying, Derek, that we actually are writing the script for our own lives?
Yeah, now this is a subject I just love so much, and it gets into another book that I'm writing right now called The Divine Drama. And it's really being a writer myself also, in writing drama, writing scripts for movies and TV and all that, I have a great appreciation for that as a metaphor. And, you know, Shakespeare said that all the world is a stage and men and women are but players upon it. And it's very important, I think, to understand that, and this can be controversial too, is that we crafted, nothing is happening by accident. Nothing happens on accident, but it really does happen on purpose. And we craft, you know, we are infinite beings with infinite potential, but we can't experience that infinity except through a moment-by-moment unfolding of it through what we call experience. So as a way to discover and experience more of our infinite nature, we create these scripts or plays or whatever, I'm using that as a metaphor, for the evolution of our soul. So we create a storyline and we cast it with other soulmates and other beings that are willing to play different parts in our life and us in theirs, and we come onto this earth stage to play out this divine drama that is designed for the evolution of our soul. And what's important to understand is that just as in a great story, all the characters and the obstacles and the conflicts and the bad guy and all of that is not there to destroy the protagonist or the hero, but have been designed to create opportunities for evolution and awakening and greater success for the hero. That's what drama is. It forces the hero to wake up and become their greatest potential by the end of the story. So when we understand our lives are the same thing, that everything that's in our lives that we might call a problem, a challenge, a conflict, a bad guy, an obstacle, it's been placed there at a soul level for us to evolve and awaken, discover more of who we are, and become the hero of our own story.
That is so powerful, man. That really brings about accountability and responsibility on our part. But I think it brings a sense of hope, because if we're really writing the script for our own purpose and destiny, that means that we can really make a decision moment by moment as to what we're going to believe, what we're going to do, et cetera.
Absolutely. How I like to talk about it is that we are the divine actor and the divine author, and we co-created this story for the evolution of our soul. But what happens is, as we begin to act out this part in this play, we get lost and we begin to think that we're the character we're playing and that the play is real, you know. And I was an actor as well, and I know what it's like to be in a play and to be fully in your character, so in your character that for a moment you forget it's character. And I also know what it's like to be totally in my character, experiencing all the emotions, but there's a part of me that's witnessing it all and knowing it's just a play. And then it's actually quite a joyous adventure. And that's what I believe it means when it says in Scripture, to be in the world but not of it. So we are called to be in the play and in the part that we're playing but not of it, to remember that we are the divine actor and author that created it all. And it gives us a new context, you know, so that when we look at our life, and we look at certain events where we felt like we were betrayed or victimized, that's from the point of view of the character. But if we step back and look at it through the point of view of the divine author and the divine actor, we then have a greater realization and paradigm shift and see that we created this experience not to be betrayed or victimized, but to be inspired, empowered, awakened to greater talents, gifts, and abilities, that we could bring even more of ourselves into this divine experience. And so it's a very, very empowering point of view.
It is. You know, you mentioned experiences, and last week you said that every experience that we've had has been conspiring for our good. Now, Derek, in my own life, I find that very difficult to believe because there have been so many things, as I'm sure in some of my listeners' lives, that did not appear at that time to be for my good. And I know that the Bible says that all things are working together for my good. So how can all the things that we have experienced really work together for our good?
Well, yes, and there's a couple of perspectives on this. The first thing is it's true. That, you know, as in the story of Joseph, you know, Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers, and, you know, one thing after the other, he was betrayed and victimized, and in each moment, he continued to bring his attention back to the vision that God had given him. So he focused on the good, he focused on the vision, even as he kept having one thing after another, and eventually he grew into such stature that he became the right-hand man of the most powerful man in the world. And when his brothers were finally before him, and they were like, uh-oh, were in trouble, Joseph, we're so sorry, he said to them basically, man may have meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And there's a metaphysical saying that goes, behind every human aberration, there is a spiritual aspiration. In other words, all that's going on in a universe, which means one song, the great song of the divine, the great song of God, all that's going on is God or good. God is infinite and omnipresent, whatever name you want to call it. This intelligence is infinite, omnipresent, omnipotent, and omniscient. That means there can't be any other power or presence or intelligence or activity going on outside of an infinite omnipresence. So all that's really going on is this good and this perfect pattern unfolding. But we, again, because we can't experience it all at once, we create these dramas for the evolution and awakening of these different dimensions of ourselves. So, but we got to start from the premise, at least being willing to accept that the truth is that all there really is a law and of good and of harmony going on. Then that will set us up and begin creating the conditions for us to have greater insight and to begin seeing our life from that perspective. But then we have to become what's called an inverse paranoid. You know, a paranoid believes that everybody's out to get them.
Does that mean we need to be paranoid, Derek?
No. So an inverse paranoid means it's somebody that believes everybody's out to help them. So we want to become inverse paranoids, where we believe everything is out to serve us. Everything is out to conspire for our good. Everywhere I go, I meet my beloved. I meet God face to face. Everywhere I go, I meet with recognition and reward and support and love and success. Why? Because it's true. That's really what's going on. And as that becomes our affirmation and our intention, then it, we create the conditions within us to begin experiencing that part of our life that is true. It's already true, but you can't experience what's true until you agree with it. A lie believed acts as a law until it's neutralized. And so when we begin to agree with what's true, there's another saying, God responds to us by corresponding to its own nature in us. So we want to become a correspondent to this presence, to this divine reality, by affirming and aligning our thoughts, words, and actions with the highest truth that we can possibly muster. And as we become congruent, then it becomes a reality, as it says again, where two or three are gathered in agreement in my name, there I am. And so those two or three are our thought, our word, and our deed. As that becomes congruent, as we begin acting and thinking and speaking as if everything and everyone is conspiring for our good, get ready, because that's what you're going to start experiencing.
You know, that is so true, because after you shared that with me, I started to meditate on that principle, Derek, and just begin to believe and expect for it to happen. And, of course, you're not surprised at what's been happening. And so I'm going to really encourage all of my listeners to really take that principle of of how everything is conspiring for your good, and just begin to believe that and expect that. I know in my life personally, just over the last 2 weeks, Derek, I have seen some remarkable things happen as a result of really getting a consciousness of that principle on the inside of me.
Mm-hmm. And it's important because then we begin to ask the right questions. The questions we ask are so important. And when you know, when you believe that life is happening against you, when something seemingly bad happens, you're going to ask questions like, why me? What did I do to deserve this? What's wrong with me? Why does God forsaken me? You know, what have I done bad in my past? You know, we start asking all these questions that, and we begin to get answers, but those answers don't serve us. So when we realize that everything is for us, then when a so-called problem arises, we ask more empowering questions like, what is the opportunity here to grow? What is this trying mm-hmm. to teach me? What is the greater possibility that's trying to emerge by means of this crisis? And then when we ask those questions, the answers we get evolve us and move us forward. So it's very important to ask the right question.
You know, that's so true. And if you're just joining me, I'm speaking with Derek Rydell, and we're talking about how to manifest from the inside out, or the law of emergence. And so, you know, Derek, this is the time of year when people are really reflecting and thinking about their vision or their purpose that they really desire for their lives in 2011. And you talk about the difference between vision and visualization. Share that with our audience. What is that difference?
Well, visualization operates primarily at the second stage of growth, which I think I talked about last time, the four stages. And visualization is in the realm of the law of attraction and manifestation and using the law of mind. And it's, you know, you hold an image in your mind and you hold it long enough and feel it strong enough, and you can begin to manifest some version of that into your life. The problem is that so often our attempts to the things that we think we want and need are often a reaction to our own sense of inadequacy, our own limited self-image, cultural conditions, parental fantasies. And they're not necessarily for our highest good or our ultimate evolution. I use the analogy of a butterfly, of a caterpillar using visualization and vision boards to manifest. What they're going to do is the caterpillar is going to try to manifest the best caterpillar life. They're going to seek to manifest the best caterpillar body, visualize the best caterpillar home, visualize the best caterpillar mate. And the problem is that what they're really meant to become is a butterfly. And so, but that's beyond their known self. And if they manifest the perfect caterpillar life, they may remain stuck in a life that's ultimately thwarting their destiny of highest good. So, and not only that, but they will create more crises because that larger life is always trying to emerge. And if they're resisting it, they're going to create crisis in their life. So we did the same thing when we get stuck in the level of mere visualization and manifestation. There is a valuable use of visualization, and that is you can use it to feel into your highest possibility and then let go of the picture. But vision, ultimately, vision is about tapping into that which is real, that which is eternal, that which is beyond the known self, and it's not something in the future. Vision, a true vision, is something that's happening right now in the realm of the real or the invisible, or what Michael Beckwith calls the idea sphere, which is the realm of eternal ideas that are always seeking to emerge. Plato also talked about this in the Allegory of the Cave, that there are these perfect ideas, these perfect patterns that are seeking to always to emerge and looking for worthy places to emerge through. And when we are seeking to have a vision, we're not seeking to catch an idea of something in the future, but we are tapping into that image and likeness of God, that divine idea of infinite intelligence that created out of itself a unique expression of itself called you and me. And it's way beyond what we can imagine. It's way beyond what we've experienced. It's way beyond even what humanity has experienced so far. That's why Jesus said, even greater works than these shall ye do, because there is something within each and every one of us that is unprecedented. It's never happened. And when we are willing to surrender control and surrender our own agenda and instead seek primarily to have a realization of who we really are, what God created, what universal intelligence created when it created us, now we tap into the realm of vision.
You know, that is so powerful. You know, the Bible says that God would do exceedingly abundantly more than we're able to ask or think. And so for my listeners, Derek, do they just need to go in and the vision is already there, so they just need to be silent enough to hear Spirit speak to them about how big and powerful and bold and awesome the vision that God has for us is?
Yes, absolutely. And there's certain techniques that help that. Again, Michael Beckwith has a process that he's, you know, developed for years called the life visioning process. And you can get that, you know, online or I'm sure it's just online. You can buy it. But the life visioning process essentially is a meditative technique where you it taps, you know, people, imagination is in the realm of, you know, the mind and law of attraction and what we know. And then in the law of emergence, I call it emergination. And that is the realm of our soul, the imagination of our soul. And the life visioning process really taps into that. So visioning is a process where we essentially get into a meditative state and we ask this higher presence, you know, what is God's idea or what is infinite intelligence or higher power's idea of its life as me? What is this divine idea? What is trying to emerge as my life? And we begin to ask those questions, and then we listen. And then we can ask questions like, how must I change or grow, or what must I become in consciousness in order to be the right conditions for this vision to emerge? And then that will begin to give us guidance and direction of how we need to cultivate our inner consciousness to be the welcome place. As I like to say, or and Michael, I think, says this too, we're not trying to make anything happen. We're trying to make it welcome. Yeah. Because it's already here. It's already here. And we're trying to create the welcome conditions for it to thrive. Just like that acorn can't thrive except in certain conditions, or a polar bear can't thrive, or, you know, so we want to, abundance can't thrive in a mindset of lack and limitation. That's like trying to have a polar bear live in the desert. It can't thrive there. It will die. So abundance cannot live and thrive in an environment of lack and limitation. So we want to cultivate those inner conditions to become that congruence, that mental equivalence. So the visioning process will allow us to not merely visualize something and make it happen out there, but to become it in consciousness. It's like I tell the story in my book about the guy who used visualization to manifest a Mercedes, and then within a few weeks, he was trying to pray himself out of the mess he had gotten himself into because the car was in the shop so many times, and he basically couldn't handle it. He couldn't afford it, the upkeep, he couldn't handle it, and he needed to get rid of it. So he tried to pray himself out of the mess he prayed himself into, but the problem is that he manifested a Mercedes, but he didn't embody Mercedes consciousness. And so the visioning process, as you tap into the vision and let it work with you, it will begin to transform you from the inside out, making you this worthy instrument and cultivating those inner conditions. One other thing just really quickly I want to mention is that, you know, a lot of people say, well, I don't know what I'm supposed to do, and even when I listen, I can't hear, and it's difficult, and I understand. So you can look for clues in your life as to what direction you are being called, as to what's trying to emerge, and just look at those people, places, things, activities that you find yourself really attracted to, that you find yourself yearning and hungering to have, to be, to do, to be like. It might maybe movies that are like your favorite movies, books or magazines, people that you just admire, and begin to extract from those magazines, movies, people, events, the qualities that they represent for you. So if you look at, you know, a great, if you're really, really just so attracted to, you know, a great master teacher like Jesus or Buddha or whoever, what are the qualities they represent for you? If you're really attracted to a great speaker or teacher or whatever, what are the qualities that they represent for you? And then understand that whatever you're seeing in them, you couldn't see it unless it was already in you. As thou seest, so thou beest. Whatever you see out there that has a charge for you is literally your own power that you have projected onto the screen of your experience. So it's an opportunity to reclaim that power, and that will begin to cultivate those inner conditions to move you more in the direction of your highest vision.
Boy, that's just life-changing information, Derek.
You are listening to your daily dose of well-being and inspiration on Law of Attraction Radio Network at loaradionetwork.com.
Hello, this is Constance Arnold. Do you have an upcoming conference or an event where you need a keynote speaker or leadership training? With over 25 years of experience, I am a recognized international leader in the areas of self-motivation and maximizing human potential. I have been the featured keynote speaker and trainer for numerous Fortune 500 companies such as Delta Airlines, Lockheed Martin, and the Russell Simmons Success Tour. I would love to partner with you to develop customized speaking and training that would change and empower your organization in 2011. So visit my website at fulfillingyourpurpose.com and take a look at my speakers page to see a detailed listing of my clientele and speaking services. Or you can email me personally at constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com. You know, another subject I really want to cover for my listeners, I remember you talking about how we need to really stop struggling and start striving. And most people believe that struggle is just a natural part of life. You know, no gain without pain, or the only time that success comes first is in the dictionary. You got to work. So
right. That
has been such a part of our mentality. So are you saying that we don't have to struggle and we don't have to earn or achieve anything to be worthy of our good? So how does that work for us?
Oh, I just love this. And this has been growing so much more in me. And there's so, you know, for the listeners out there that maybe the Bible isn't their thing, you know, I'm a universalist. I believe in all truth. But I just happen to be aware more of the scriptural statements there. And there's so many statements that lean on this truth or that come from this truth where it says, for example, "Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden and labor, and I will give you rest. My yoke is easy. My burden is light." And it's telling us, rest. The burden is light, meaning it's not heavy, but also the only burden you have is to carry the light, is to keep your attention on the truth. So it's not a struggle. And then elsewhere it says, "Not by might nor power, but by my grace." And then elsewhere it says, "The Father within," which is the creative principle, "the Father within does all the work appointed you, perfects all that concerns you, goes before you to prepare the place, saves out a portion for you," meaning your audience, your people, "straightens the crooked places, exalts the valleys, lowers the mountains, and makes clear a path in the desert for the coming of the Lord," or the law of light. So everywhere it's saying over and over and over again, and this is true in Buddhism, this is true in Taoism, it's saying the work is already done. Again, it says, "I send you forth to reap whereupon you have bestowed no labor." It is grace. Life is to be a gift of grace. It is God's good pleasure to give us the whole kingdom, the whole of infinite good, not by might, not by struggle, but as a gift. Why? Because it is our true nature. God or spirit or infinite love is who we already are. We've already got it. We're already it. So there's nothing to struggle and strive for. There's only a resting and a relaxing and a receiving of this great gift of grace that has been given us. It's all been given us. And all of our efforting and struggling to make it happen, to make us worthy, to become something, is literally the resistance that we're putting up against the grace that's trying to flood our being. And
so are you saying, Derek, that we just need to get a realization of who God is or spirit is in our life, and in that realization, once we possess a consciousness of that, that things will be added to us and we don't have to struggle. Because I just see so much struggling in visualization and struggling in writing down my goals and struggling in writing down my intention, and nothing is happening here.
Yes, yes. And it's, I understand also that if you're we all are struggling and striving to some extent in some area, and the first thing you want to do when you become aware of that is have compassion, patience, and absolute gentle love with yourself. So there's no judgment here. It's not that the struggling and striving is wrong or bad. And in fact, in some cases, it is a necessary evolutionary precursor to becoming able to let go of the struggle. So just, we can just be with that. But also, it's important to know that, just as I use the analogy of the seed, when the seed is planted in the soil, does the farmer struggle and strive to get it to grow?
No.
It would be still, of course not. The seed is planted, so there's a certain level of cultivation of the soil. There's a planting, and then there's a loving cultivation once the seed is planted. But nowhere in there is there efforting or struggling. There's no efforting to, like, force the seed into the ground, and there's no efforting to, like, force the ground to open up, and there's no efforting to, like, force the water into the seed, you know. You just, there's just a gentle, loving cultivation. So there is a work, but the work isn't a labor or a struggle. It's a loving cultivation of the ground, of the soil, of our soul, and of the seed of potential that's already planted there. And then when you've done that, what happens? The farmer moves on to the next seed, and that seed begins to grow by the law of the soil, and in this case, the law of emergence. So there's no struggling or efforting to get that seed to come out and visualizing the seed growing and forcing it. And that would be ridiculous. If you kept digging it up and trying to force it to grow, it would die. And so the same is true with the seed of our own life. If you just look at that analogy, it makes so much sense. The seed is already planted. It's our job to cultivate it, to tend to the soil of our soul, and then through the law of emergence and the grace of God, because it's already who we are, it begins to unfold. But I don't want to give the, I don't want to say that there's nothing you do. It's just that
absolutely,
the work isn't, it's not an effort. It's not a struggle. Also, really quickly, I want to add that if you plant the seed and you plant it correctly and you abide by the principles and the laws of the soil, do you have to feel worthy about yourself in order for that seed to grow? You don't, right?
No, you don't.
If you abide by the laws of buoyancy, do you have to feel worthy and adequate in order to float? No. It has nothing to do with it. This whole idea that we have to feel worthy and adequate and earn it, all of that is not true. If you align yourself with the principle, with the law, then you, doesn't matter if you've never floated in your life, or as Michael Beckwith says, you came from a family of non-floaters, you know, if you align yourself with the law of buoyancy, you could feel like the most unworthy person in the world, and lo and behold, you will float. If you align yourself with the laws of emergence, with the laws of grace, with the law of spirit, you can feel unworthy as all get out, and grace will happen. That's why that song, Amazing Grace, says, you know, I was a wretch. How did this happen for me? You know,
mm-hmm.
How did this happen? I didn't earn this. That's the whole idea of grace. You didn't earn it. You can't earn it. You can't become worthy of God's grace because you already are it, but you have to become receptive.
You know, that is so good. And just personally in my own life for my listeners, I just really call on and depend on and just receive the grace of God just every day, almost every moment in my life. If I'm really facing something that I feel might be very difficult, I just called on that grace of God, which is already on the inside of me. And I'm just going to really encourage my listeners to also do the same thing. Well, Deb, we're talking about spiritual things, which is what I really love. And I remember once you said that we're already living in heaven. We just haven't experienced it yet. So how can my listeners who may be a single mom and struggling, you know, paying the mortgage, or someone who may have been downsized, or maybe this time of the year at Christmas, a little people might be feeling a little depressed. How in the world can they experience heaven right now?
Yeah, well, you know, it is a truth. You know, the kingdom of heaven is at hand now. But having eyes, we see it not, and having ears, we hear it not. And what that means is that reality, the love, the abundance, the joy, the peace that we're seeking is not visible. It's invisible. It's spiritual reality. So we can't see it with our physical eyes, and we can't hear it with our physical ears. So to the extent that we're looking out and judging our life by the five senses, we are judging amiss, and we're even praying amiss, because that act of judgment is a form of prayer. It's a form of affirmation. So that's why it says, judge not by appearances, but judge righteous judgment, which is spiritual discernment. So, you know, we are where we are right now. Our conditions are what they are. And so the first thing we need to do is, again, adopt another saying, resist not evil. And the reason is that what you resist persists. What you
fight. Did you say resist not evil? Does that mean resist not our circumstances?
Exactly.
Okay.
Evil is any condition, person, place, or thing that you think is bad or wrong or limited or shouldn't be there. That's any form of life that seems to be not working out. If you look at the word evil, what does it spell backwards? Live. So whenever life seems to be going backwards, that's what we call evil. And so you look at all those appearances and you become aware of where you're fighting them, resisting them, and become aware that by the law of mind, you are perpetuating that which you are resisting, fighting, and judging. So you begin to withhold and pull back from that judgment and resistance. I know that we have good rationalizations for why we should judge it and resist it and fight it, but what I can say is that no matter how good your excuse or rationalization is, it's not serving you, it's actually hurting you. So whatever the economy looks like, whatever our life looks like right now, we have to begin to come to a loving, compassionate acceptance of our life experience. We have to begin to accept all of the facts of our experience. That doesn't mean that we condone them or acquiesce to them. We just release all resistance. We bless them because we know that even if we can't see it, it's all conspiring for our good. Then we bring our attention within us, and we begin cultivating a vision, an inspired, empowered vision for our life, whether it's greater abundance, greater health, greater relationship, whatever that is, and we cultivate it at whatever level we're able. If it's just designing it, you know, in a vision board, visualization, affirmations, prayer, and ultimately into the state of vision where we seek a realization of our oneness with God or with Spirit, which is enough. We begin cultivating that as a practice so that on a daily basis we are consciously catching ourselves whenever we go to complaining, criticizing, judging, condemning, fighting, and we lovingly bring our attention back, bless our circumstances, and turn our attention to the vision that we're trying to cultivate until the vision that we are seeing and holding for our life becomes more real to us than our external condition. And as that happens, the consciousness will begin to be clothed in external forms, in new forms.
You know, that is so true. I just know in my own life personally, when the vision of where I know God is taking me is almost so bright that my past becomes dim. And that vision just pulls me in, you know, to the brightness of the great things that God has for me. We only have about 10 minutes left. Can you believe that, Derek? You've mentioned the law of mind a couple of times during this interview. What is the law of mind, and how does it work?
Well, it's the basic fundamental law of real cause and effect, and really is, you know, the underpinnings of the law of attraction. And it just simply states that whatever we are believing and holding as true in mind, the content of our mind, the thoughts that we're believing and identifying with, is what we're experiencing.
Oops, looks like I just lost Derek due to some technical difficulties. Well, that's live radio, folks, so I'm just going to summarize and add some truth to what Derek has already shared today. And, you know, the main point about the law of emergence is that everything you need is already on the inside of you. That's right. Think about that. You don't have to look outside of yourself. And so Derek talked about cultivating what is already on the inside of us. So how can we begin manifesting from the inside out? I'm just going to give you a couple of tips. Number one, recognition of God's presence and power on the inside of you, and that we are one with God, or one with Source. You are one with the most powerful force in the universe. Think about that. You are one with the power that formed the solar system, that makes the sun to rise daily, and just begin to meditate on that. So begin to draw your attention from the outer world and begin to focus your attention on the kingdom of God that is within you. The second thing is to begin individualizing consciousness or truth. Now, what do I mean by that? For example, when you hear something on a show today, I want you to take the time to get a clear understanding and revelation of that truth. You have to make it your own until it becomes yours, until it is actually a part of your DNA. You know it. You know, studies have shown that you need to hear something 9 to 11 times before it actually becomes truth to you. You know, for years I had affirmations where I would say, like, I am abundant now, or wealth comes to me easily and effortlessly. But I did not possess an individual consciousness of it. So when I spoke it, it was spoken from a place from the outside of me. It did not come from my spirit. So rather than repeating affirmations from the outside, I want you to go inside and just begin to come from a place of spirit. I call it contemplative meditation. And, you know, once I begin to go on the inside and just realize what was on the inside of me, wealth and money began to come to me. So you might say, Constance, what is meditation? I call meditation divine silence. Meditation means to ponder, think on, or to roll something over and over in your mind again. The purpose of meditation is really to gain a conscious awareness of the presence of God or the presence of Source on the inside of you. Then the more you meditate, there will be a gradual unfolding, a gradual birthing of the presence and the power on the inside of you, just waiting to manifest your heart's desire. So begin to think about it. Let's just say if you want more wealth, begin to think about how beautiful the sky is, the beautiful colors of the flowers, the beautiful water, which could be either a green or a blue, and just think about the abundance and just how beautiful the butterflies are. And that will begin to develop for you an individualized consciousness of abundance. Okay, the next thing is believe that all things that are happening to you are working together for your good. And as we said earlier in the show, it looks like that a lot of things that have happened to us have not been very great. You know, let me give you an example of what happened to me. I just finished recording a show, and as I always say, I believe that God is always behind the scene, rearranging people, places, and good things on your behalf. So I had recorded a show, and it was airing live, and Jules, the founder of the Law of Attraction Radio Network, said to me, Constance, this one guy, I don't even know who he is, had decided to send out my link to 10,000 people in his database because he thought my show was so great. Now, that's a prime example of God behind the scenes deliberately rearranging people, places, and things to bring good into my life. Okay, the next thing is to rest in God and begin to expect for good things to manifest from the inside out. Your position is one of going in and expectations. Every day, expect for good to happen to you. Don't just get up and say, oh, my God, it's just another day, Constance. I'm going to work. I have a long commute, sitting in traffic. Nothing's going to change. So I want you, as Derek said, to begin to expect. Say after me, today is my manifestation day. I want you to be like a child at Christmas, just so excited that things are going to be happening for you. And then lastly, I want you to begin taking inspired actions. And, you know, when it comes from a place of realization that you're one with God, whatever you feel led to do, then you do that. You know, I had a client who was trying to grow his business. He had went to all kind of networking meetings every night looking for the great hookup. And you know what happened? Absolutely nothing. So when he came to me, we started him meditating. He started getting in touch with the God on the inside of him. And then eventually, over a period of time, he got an inspired idea. We're talking about getting inspired idea from God. And he contacted this guy who he had not talked to in years. And he contacted the guy, and they were able to work a $1 million deal. So basically, Derek and I have been sharing with you that everything that you need is already on the inside of you, that it's an inside job, and the tools that we've shared with you today are just to help you with that. Well, it has been a powerful show today. So if you want to contact Derek, you may contact him at Derek Rydell, that's RYDALL.com, or thelawofemergence.com. He has lots of free information and materials there for you. Once again, I want to remind you, as I said at the beginning of the show, you have about 10 days to take advantage of my Christmas one-half off coaching package. This is where I'm going to be gifting to you $250, and you're going to be paying the other $250, which would allow me to coach with you for half a year. This one-time offer expires on December 31st, and you know I've had so many people taking advantage of this opportunity. So give yourself the best gift ever, manifesting in yourself.
Thanks for joining us today on Think, Believe, and Manifest. We'll be back next week with another great show. For more information, go to FulfillingYourPurpose.com.